We've fallen into a comfortable rhythm, you and I. One that I find quite agreeable. Which is why it's so hard for me to see you so dissatisfied with it. With me. The first time I emerge from the attic, it's a shock. Dolls aren't supposed to move. We aren't supposed to blink or breathe or crawl along the ceiling over your bed at night. But I do. Dolls aren't supposed to lust either. To fantasize. To daydream about taking your cock in their mouth every time you towel off from the shower or strip out of your sweaty gym clothes. But I find you fascinating and beautiful. I watch you from the vents, from the crawl spaces, from the windows when it's dark out. The first time I work up the courage to approach you, you're fast asleep. I've watched you for so long. I know by the gentle rise and fall of your chest that you're in a deep, dreamless sleep. So I lower myself from the ceiling to kneel beside your slumbering body. My jointed fingers click subtly as I slide your sweatpants down. When I see your erection, your impressive erection, my hungry doll mouth curiously begins to water. I don't know what you're dreaming about, but it's got you worked up, which in turn has me worked up, so much so that I feel a flush spreading through my body. I feel contact against my doll body. Sensations. The cool sheets under my legs. The warmth of your cock at my fingertips. The tickle of your breath as I lean down to kiss you. And when your eyes flutter open, I feel the panicked strength of your hands trying to push me off. It's useless, of course, your struggles. The moment your lips meet mine, they soften from oak to something warm and feminine, smiling as your body goes numb, paralyzed from the brush of my lips. A curse, my previous owners called it, though I consider it a gift I'm happy to give you. You lay languid, paralyzed under me as I straddle your legs. Your eyes are wide, but you're unable to scream. Your eyes dance over my impossible features, delicately carved hands, jointed limbs, a body with curves that only a true artist or a fetishist could have made without blushing, and an oval face with a pretty bowed mouth which hovers over the head of your penis, breathing it in. Finally, you scream. Or you would. Instead, your chest deflates and you groan softly. And I find it delicious as your cock, which I've observed for far too long. I take you into my mouth and down my throat, and I see the naked terror and surprise in your eyes when you feel warm, wet flesh enveloping you. Not the feel of oak, but of a velvety tongue lapping at the underside of your shaft. Hot flesh sheathing your penis, squeezing it as I bob my head up and down on you. Normally, I'd prefer you to take my doll hair in your fist and use me roughly until you are sated. But first times can be traumatic, so I let you relax while I do the work. I wait for your panic to subside as I show your cock what a good doll I can be. What a pleasure my gift, my haunting, can be. When I feel you twitching in my throat and your shaft is slick with saliva, I pull back. I giggle when I see the surprise and disappointment on your face. But it doesn't last long. I pull up my ridiculous frilly doll dress and I lower myself onto you. And you groan again. This time, it's not in terror. I bite the hem of my dress and I bounce on your cock, digging my knees into your sides until we're both panting and moaning in ecstasy. You are simply everything I dreamed you would be. You are hot and hard and delightful, filling me up inside. My body craves yours, even as I'm claiming you. And you feel me humming with power, with need, as my pussy draws you in, squeezing you, clenching with every buck of my hips. By the time you come, you're defenseless to me. Horror replaced by wonder, by confusion. You breathe, blink. Your mouth forms questions, but you're unable to speak them. The words won't come out. The perplexed look on your face, your tousled hair, your reddened cheeks. It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. In fact, it makes me want to take you again. But the sun is rising, and my time with you is up. That's how I leave you, wordless, mystified, caught between dreaming and waking. I wave to you once before I float away, still biting my dress. That way you can see my body, what you've done to me. As I disappear into the dark, and that is our rhythm, you and I, night after night, I visit you. I take my pleasure from you, and I give you the sweetest dreams and the hottest fuck you will ever know. And yet, you try to break our rhythm. First, with medication, thinking there's something wrong with you. But when the sedatives don't stop my midnight visits, you get serious. You go searching, really searching. First, through the bottom of the house. You check the floorboards, the cellar, the crawl spaces, the vents. I watch you day after day, investigating from bottom to top, until you finally come to the attic. I am cleverly hidden, but you find me anyway, boarded up behind the slanted rafters like a treasure waiting for you. When you discover me, the look on your face is priceless. Like you've just discovered Santa is real, and he was secretly an insatiable fuck doll the whole time. Triumph, confusion, and validation flash over your face in turns, and it's enough to make me grin, if I wasn't already carved that way. But then, you do something cruel and profoundly foolish. You drag me, limp and powerless, to the car. You stuff me into the back seat like a date you've drugged, and you drive, speeding, to the river. I know what you're going to do before you do it. I don't blame you. I know you're freaked out, confused, hurt. I've been through this before. And although I can't say, I won't hold it against you. At least, I understand. I watch you, standing above me, as I hit the water with a slash. The brick you've tied around my middle drags me under. I see your face, pale and shaken, as I sink below the surface. And I love you all the more. I'm dripping when I take you again, both in how aroused I am, squeezing your cock with my cunt, and in my sodden dress and wet, tangled hair. I ride you, angry, disappointed, taking out my frustrations on your body. And you stare, frightened, as your body betrays you with its arousal. You can't control the fierce erection that I take, needy and shuddering inside me. Just like you can't control the painful, racked orgasm as you come inside me again. When you're done, and I've taken every drop of you into me, I plant a wet kiss on your lips, and I leave you shivering in your soaked bed. I don't even hide my disappearance this time. You watch me crawl along the ceiling, open the attic hatch, and I retire for the night. Fire and axes are predictably the next step. Those don't work either. And when I return to fuck you, it's with renewed passion. Your rejection of me, your insistence on restoring reality and normalcy, makes me crave you all the more. And make no mistake, you are mine. Our rhythm finally breaks when I emerge at midnight, searching for my snack. And I find you downstairs instead of in your bed. And you aren't alone. I've dealt with holy men before. Shamans, witch doctors, shrinks, priests. But the company you've brought to ward me off is a shock, even for one as timeless as I. A crew of lazy-eyed men stand around with cameras and recording equipment. They have high-tech sensors, microphones, laser pointers, and wires and coils, and all manner of detection devices. It's all nonsense, of course. I'm easy enough to see with the naked eye. But they're anxious to see me, to record me. and their excitement, not fear, not revulsion, but excitement, sets off alarms in my empty wooden head. You sit on the couch with a man, a producer of some sort, and you point at me, identifying me, as if you're pointing on the doll where you've been touched. And I giggle. This usually is the moment of fear, when the priest or spiritual healer goes fleeing into the night. But I notice the men lean toward me after my outburst. The one on the couch with you stands, coming closer, and I feel the rare pang of fear in my breast. There are five of them standing behind the recording equipment. They are unkempt, unsightly, uncouth, and generally speaking, as unattractive as one might imagine for a red-eyed crew of ghost hunters. One of the men lowers his camera, a handheld camcorder with some ridiculous purple light on the front, and he reaches out to touch me. I slap his hand away, and he gasps, staring at his thick, tattooed arm where I touched him, like he's expecting a burn or something. Then, to my surprise, the laughter begins. Nervous laughter at first, from him, and then the rest of the crew. Wood, he confirms for the crew. She's just wood. More laughter. My cheeks burn, and I realize I've had enough of this mockery. I lean toward him like a playful lover coming in for a kiss. But you've warned them about me, about my powers, about my gift. The man catches me by the throat, holding my mouth inches from his. He drops his camera and he marvels at me, rubbing his thumb over my neck in slow circles. As the surface begins to warm, begins to transform, flesh-like, skin-like, until my neck is soft and petite in his grasp, and he realizes, quite vulnerable. He sees my little bowed mouth, still parted for a smooch, and he fills it with two of his fingers. His eyes go wide as he explores my mouth, my teeth, my tongue, my throat with his hand. I choke and I spit at his probing, but he only chuckles. Holy fuck, he says. She really is wet. Then he looks at you on the couch, confirming what you've told them about me. And I look at you too. I plead with you with my eyes. Don't let them do this. Don't let them use me like this, like the doll I am. Don't let them spoil what we've shared, what I've given to you. But there's malice in your stare. Victory. You've won. You've taken back a sliver of your reality, conquered your house by sicking these dogs on me, and you're still staring at me, victorious, as the men crowd around me, lowering their belts. The cameras record everything in night vision and infrared and contrast and whatever the fuck else can capture evil. As the men lower me onto my knees and raise my arms to my sides, I am already powerless in their grasp, but that doesn't stop them from taking my arms, gripping them painfully with two rough hands on each outstretched wrist. "Be a good dolly," the cameraman mutters, and he thrusts his cock into my face with as much care as one would give an inanimate object. The man fucks my mouth, rough, like he's trying to drive the evil out through the back of my throat, like he's trying to prove with his cock that somewhere in my esophagus there must be a bit of hard oak. There isn't, but he searches for it anyway, slamming his cock down into me, clutching the back of my head with both hands until I'm gagging, struggling, shaking my head violently to catch a breath of air. One of the others reaches in to lend a hand, holding my jaw steady. The other men laugh, and I feel them smearing their cocks in my hands, along my arms, across my body, where I've turned warm and soft under their probing. I can't see it, how they've stained my doll's body with their touch. All I can see is a mound of flesh pummeling my face, and fingers and hands prying at my cheeks, my mouth, my forehead. I feel the cock in my throat twitching, pulsing, the telltale throb and squeeze. But before he climaxes, he reaches for my neck again, crushing my flesh in his fingers as he uses me, quite literally, to jack off into my stomach. When he releases me, I collapse. Or I would, if I wasn't suspended by my arms. I cough violently, trailing spittle and cum down the front of my frilly dress. The next man lines up in front of me for a turn, and the rest of the crew picks me up by my middle and raises me up. They hold my head down and my ass high as another cock is slammed into my throat. I'm almost too dizzy to feel my dress being lifted, rucked up around my waist. The man behind me takes my hips in his bruising grip, and he presses his penis against my asshole. I hear him make some loud crack about being careful to not get splinters before he thrusts himself into me, and I scream around the cock in my mouth, making it vibrate. The men are still holding my wrists, as I am pinned between two cocks, thrusting in and out of me in counterpoint. They make degrading comments, saying that they've never encountered an otherworldly slut like me. Something come to life purely to serve the pleasures of men. They laugh. They spit on me, on my dress. They slap me, turning my flesh red, which delights them. And they wonder aloud if the bruises, the marks, will remain when I turn into oak by daybreak. I dangle between them. My doll shoes slip off, hitting the floor during their savage assertion over my body. And as the man in my throat pulls back, drenching my face, my doll hair in hot, sticky cum, I catch a glimpse of you sitting on the couch, still watching, still with that small, victorious smile on your face as I am defiled again and again. My holes are not enough for these men. They use my legs, my arms, my tits, pressing my flesh together around their cocks wherever they can, friction and heat, rubbing their sticky warmth into me, into my skin. I am panting and limp, exhausted by the time they're finally finished with me. And it's nearly sunup. They watch, recording, as I turn back into my natural state, into the doll, your doll, bedraggled, despoiled on the floor in a heap like some forgotten plaything. The men drink beers and pack up their equipment, laughing, congratulating each other on a case well and truly solved. They take their things and shake your hand, and they depart in panel vans. And I'm curious and confused when they leave me on the floor. But then you return to me. You bend over and you scoop me into your arms, ball-jointed wood and loose limbs, and you carry me upstairs, back to the attic. There, you place me gently in a trunk without cleaning me. Before you lower the lid, you brush my wooden cheek. "Be a good doll," you tell me. You close the trunk, and I hear the click of the lock.